Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Sarah Gackle on the Ministry of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Have you ever seen an athlete endorse a product? So in 1954, Don McLennan, he was a basketball coach, said if athletes can endorse cigarettes and shaving cream, they can endorse the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sarah Gackle, next. Believers share the Christian faith through many different activities and outreaches, through movies and music, homeless outreaches, prison ministries, and more. And today we'll get a look inside the work of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and their ministry using sports to share the gospel and encourage spiritual growth on high school and college campuses. Sarah Gackle is a regional vice president with FCA. Here's Spencer Dahlke.
I understand that you've had actually a little bit of a history with this ministry. Tell us a little bit about your experience?
Absolutely. So I got involved with FCA in middle school. I grew up in Tennessee, and we had a group on my middle school campus. FCA met on Wednesdays after school, and I went because it was the cool thing to do. And that's where my journey with FCA started, was in the sixth grade.
I know FCA does a lot of different sports.
Yes.
What sports did you end up playing, and how long did you do it?
Yeah. So I played a lot of sports growing up. From high school and into college, I focused on volleyball, but played soccer, dabbled in basketball, which I definitely needed to walk away from. Volleyball was for sure my strength. But yeah, softball and volleyball were my loves, and focused on volleyball through college.
What brought you to FCA?
I never planned to work for FCA. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I didn't know people worked for FCA. You know, I knew there was some people who I saw consistently, but to say, oh yeah, that's really a ministry career opportunity, I would have never put that together. But it was in my senior year of college. I'd been involved with FCA, you know, since middle school, and really just had this burden for the people and the place of Colorado. And I couldn't shake it. You know, it's kind of like some people are passionate about Ecuador or China or whatever. For me, it was Colorado. And being a Tennessee native, I was like, what do I do with that? And after praying, I moved out here for a couple of weeks just to do an internship kind of thing, and got connected with an FCA staff person, planned to volunteer, was told about an internship program. And it was intern to hire, and the rest is history. I haven't looked back since 2012.
What does the internship program look like at FCA?
Yeah, so we have internships that are really different across the country. Depending on the local area, there may or may not even be a program. So the program I was in has since fizzled out, but it's been replaced by a couple others that are more decentralized. It was like a statewide thing here in Colorado called the Sports Ministry Institute, and it was an immersive experience of come learn how to do sports ministry with FCA. You know, we'll do, you know, 2 hours of classroom and Bible teaching, practicum experience. Organizationally, you know, we're hoping to get our arms around what do all of our internships have in common, but really they take on the flavor and the needs of each local area. Anybody who's interested, just check it out. See if there's an internship nearby. Or we have some global internships, actually. College age students, you know, students 19, 18 to 25 can participate in what we call global impact. Really cool opportunities across the world to get involved with what we do.
Can you tell us a little bit maybe about the history of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, how it got started? And maybe you've mentioned you guys are like global?
We are. So how we got started, have you ever seen an athlete endorse a product? So in 1954, Don McLennan, he was a basketball coach, said if athletes can endorse cigarettes and shaving cream, they can endorse the Lord Jesus Christ. I would call it our first dream of what's it look like to leverage the influence of a coach or an athlete for the sake of the gospel in a concrete way. He prayed about this for 7 years, which is wild. And then he finally got a meeting with Branch Rickey. He was the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time. He eventually signed Jackie Robinson. Really rich history. He had a meeting with Branch, asked for 5 minutes. I'm told it turned into 5 hours, and FCA was born. So our first camp was in 1956, right here in the Rockies.
And you were like right there.
Oh yeah, I was totally there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That must be kind of a privilege to like serve in that area where it like all got started.
You know, there's the camp is still there. Of course, it's changed, but the site and the facilities, you know, for us, it's part of our really rich history.
The FCA's programs, how have they changed over the years?
Oh, man. What hasn't changed? Our name and the gospel hasn't changed. Originally, if I were to take us through the maturation of ministry, we started out as a camp ministry, and it was this annual summer conference. And then there was this desire for a continuation of that conversation throughout the year. So this on-campus opportunity really came by demand. People wanted more of that camp experience throughout the year. So then we launched huddles, which is a sports term for a group of people in a circle talking about something important, and then they're going to go break and run the play, right? So we call that a huddle. We just gather around the Bible to study it and then break and run the play. Huddles, I would say, on a campus, that was kind of how we organized ourselves, was campus. And along the way, we got involved with FCA-owned and run club teams. And then most recently, the campus focus remains. It's just not our borders. So we're not campus limited. We have ministry. We desire to be present and relevant and impactful really everywhere there's sport. So whether that's the four-year-old soccer league or the 80-year-old folks who consider themselves to be athletes playing pickleball on the weekends, like, we want to be present, relevant, impactful everywhere there is sport in every community across the globe, which is a huge undertaking. And I'm thankful that we have the audacity to trust God and to go after it.
Well, I'm definitely going to ask about like the huddles and the fields of faith, I guess you call them, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
But I guess one thing I did want to ask too is, I mean, aside from the obvious, you know, FCA is gospel centered. Are there ways that FCA, like, functionally as a sports program differs from other more secular programs?
Absolutely. Our sports teams, the head coaches, we would desire for that person to be a, what we would call, a disciple maker. Yes, it is a competitive environment, but it's Christian first. And for our athletes on these teams to have a Jesus-loving head coach is a huge difference between our programs and others. Of course, the programming itself, right? We want to weave these conversations, whether it's a weekly devotional before practice or something on the road before games. We want to weave the conversation of what does it mean to love Jesus and play sports and then leverage my life to help other people experience him. That's knit in to everything that we do. And we hope we would deliver an excellent experience as well. A really great experience for parent, player, and coach.
Have you ever coached yourself?
Man, it's been a while. Volleyball was my love, as we've established. So yeah, I coached club volleyball and middle school volleyball there for a while and enjoyed that. But as time and life got more complicated, I had to walk away from that. Loved it. Loved the girls. Really sweet and hard, but at the same time, totally worth it.
I gotta ask, I know one thing that is, I mean, a balance for like any discipline, but especially for sports, I imagine, is, yeah, I guess as Christians, we can kind of think of discipleship as, you know, maybe kind of like an exercise in like gentleness and weakness, but like, I don't know that that's necessarily true. It doesn't strike me as true. How do your coaches balance, yeah, sort of the discipleship, taking care of the hearts of people, with we're going to pursue sports and we're going to do this excellently?
So I would say that's actually a bigger question, and we never graduate from this question. It's, how do I worship Jesus with all of my life? Our athletes graduate and go into the workforce. So it's the same conversation at a different point in life. This is what you do. It's not who you are, but we are to do everything wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not to man. This sense of excellence, there's no question if we should be excellent. I would lobby the question is why. What is driving that hunger, that desire, that passion? And if it's because sport is your God, that's the wrong motivator. If it's he loved me, he gave himself up for me, and everything I touch is worship now, I'm going to bring my best every day. That is what we're after. And that translates from 18 to 24 to 36 to 45, right? Who I am is not what I do, but he loves me, gave himself for me, and I'm going to bring my very best to this each and every day. I think there is an element of meekness. There is an element of gentleness, but we also see the ferocity of the Lion of Judah. When he comes with power and authority, and he is all those things. He is the lion. He is the lamb. And we see Jesus's motivation was really knit in loving and serving his father. And that's our desire too. So yes, we want to be excellent. The question is why? And for us, we would say, yeah, because he loved me first.
Well, you've got a number of these different programs that you mentioned to meet that vision for discipleship and ministry. Some of these are like your fields of faith, your huddles, some of your camps. Just to pick one, would you tell us a little bit about your huddles and what these are?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we referenced huddles earlier. Fancy name, FCA terminology for a Bible study. And we would say a huddle is anywhere one or more coaches or athletes are gathered to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. They are in a growing relationship. That's what we desire to see. So huddles could have three people. Huddles could have a whole bunch more. Thinking of our traditional, what we call a multi-sport huddle. So imagine a high school campus, club period, before or after school, maybe at lunch hour, students gathering around pizza or donuts to hear a message, read God's word, and then discuss it amongst themselves. Our huddles are really powerful ministry tools, but they don't just happen on campus. It could be a one-on-one setting or a five-on-one setting or 10 people who are just having a conversation centered around God's word. For us, we have a discipleship process that's baked into this whole conversation. And so we want to engage people relationally and with the gospel. We want to equip them with God's word, and we want to empower them to help others do the same. And huddles are our primary tool to do that, because it has the consistency factor of weekly or biweekly that the other programs you've mentioned, they just don't have. Tons of huddles, different types of huddles. Everything we do probably has a huddle in it. It's our bread and butter.
You mentioned different campuses, different facilities that you guys use. Do you ever compete with other high school settings in public ways?
Certainly. Let's take an example of a student-led ministry on a high school campus. You've got three or four student leaders who love the Lord, have prepared to share with their peers. That right there is a witness to the community. They invite their peers. They gather around God's word. They discuss it. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? What does it say about me? They go and live their life from there. And that alone is a witness to the community. I would say the other kind of programmatic thing huddles can do as a witness to the community is fields of faith. So ironically, in the best settings, fields of faith is an expression of our huddle ministry. So we don't just want to have a fields of faith with no follow-up. Back to the whole camps thing. We want to have people in a community who want to challenge young folks. We call it the Josiah Challenge, right? Hey, read God's word. We want young people challenging young people to do that. And fields of faith, that's typically at an outdoor stadium type environment. So yeah, that would be another expression of engaging the community just beyond the high school itself.
My guest today is Sarah Gackle. She's the Regional Vice President of Fellowship of Christian Athletes in the Colorado, Utah, New Mexico area and others. Since you've mentioned it, these fields of faith, I've heard they are events that you guys put on, maybe help organize. Tell us a little bit about what these are and how do these sorts of events come together?
Fields of Faith really gives athletes that opportunity to challenge their peers to equip themselves in God's word in the community. The Josiah Challenge. How they come together in preparation for the event, local staff of FCA, volunteers, student leaders, they're empowered to really take ownership of this event. And we launch into that opportunity athlete leaders to meet with and disciple their peers after the event. It's really a community-owned thing. It's, I would say, volunteer intensive for sure. Pull this off with one person. You know, it's a greater undertaking than that. As far as how they get off the ground, typically starts with a vision, someone catching the vision of wanting to do this, rallying some support around it, probably a team of 10 to 20 people between sound and music and testimonies and prayer team and getting after promotion in the community. That's how they come together. And the night of, I mean, it's like game day. Everyone's in their places, music playing, worship starts, students reading God's word, students sharing their testimonies, and then prayer on the field or on the court, depending on the setting. And it ends with a challenge. Hey, for 21 days, will you commit to reading God's word?
How often do you see students asking, let's put on a field of faith?
Where they've seen it, for sure. They need to hear about it. And I think that's the power of our conversation today is to say, hey, you want to make a splash in your community? Okay, first, you need to be living in community. You need a huddle first. You need to be part of a group. You can't go do this by yourself. But second, if you catch a vision for, man, what would it be like to share this message, challenge my peers? I think it starts with them catching the vision for it. that's where it really starts. Now, how often do we do these? Typically not more than once a year in a community. For us, that's October. The second Wednesday in October is kind of like our rally date for Fields of Faith. So we've had 17 of those in my region. Typically in a major city, you could have 5 or 6 because the communities are spread out. But in a smaller town, it's probably just the one.
Do you happen to know of any Fields of Faith that our listeners could explore in the Montana, Wyoming, Nevada region?
There is a way, I believe, to find a field, fieldsoffaith.com, top right-hand corner, my friends. If you click find a field, you can search by location or zip code. And if that Fields of Faith is registered, the information will be right there.
I guess while we're on this sort of topic, how can our listeners connect with FCA and get involved?
Same thing. I would say it all starts with our local staff, right? I'm going to sound a little like State Farm. Find your local agent, you know, but like that's really it. So if you go to FCA.org, on the top right-hand corner, there's a button for Find My Staff. And again, that's a search by zip code. So if anyone's interested in getting connected, then the very best place to start is by finding their staff.
Tell us a little bit about these camps, too. I hear that these are kind of like a larger part of the summer activities.
Summer. Nailed it. Summer. I love our camps. I want the listeners to think about it's an immersive opportunity, typically for the overnight camps. Okay. So specifically overnight, it's an immersive opportunity for athletes to come from all different walks of life to get better at their sport and to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And for a lot of athletes, they've never put those two things together. It's a powerful time for young folks who maybe have never set foot in a church to have a reason to come to a sports camp that has this Christian focus. The other thing is those athletes who are mature in their faith have an opportunity later in their life to come back and serve as camp staff. We call them huddle leaders. And the magic is in the camp counselor, right? We know that about a lot of other camps. The counselor creates the camp. We see that to be so true with our huddle leaders. It's a beautiful thing when you've had an athlete grow and come through the ministry to turn around and serve while they're in college. And here they are, you know, this college athlete, they are so cool to most of the kids who are at camp to say, oh my gosh, like I want to be that person one day. The connection factor, the relationships are built quickly and in a matter of a day or so with these overnight settings. We're having great conversations about what it looks like to love Jesus and face the challenges of the day and also compete in a way that honors and glorifies God. So we have lots of different types of camps. That's our overnight setting. We have day camps, you know, 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. with a lunch break, something like that. Same concept, right? All of our camps are a time of inspiration and perspiration. Inspiration with God's word and perspiration. We're going to sweat. We're going to work out. We're going to get better in our sport. In age range, I mean, we got little bitty campers at these day camps, and we have marriage ministry for coaches. We qualify those as camps as well. So really across the lifespan, we have camping opportunities.
Could you tell us a story of people you know that come through your camps and had a transformative experience?
I can tell you my story.
Yeah.
I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm so thankful for that. And the pieces really came together for me of what it looked like to really follow Jesus through FCA. I would say I surrendered my life to Christ at a young age, but growing and understanding what does it look like to know him deeply and passionately? What does it look like to help other people know him? Of course, my local church was a huge cog in that wheel. But for me, FCA, those camp experiences were so formative. So I went to my first FCA camp the summer before my freshman year of high school. I could tell you my huddle leader's name, Amanda, Courtney. I could tell you girls in my huddle. And just the way those conversations equipped me to know what God's word said about something, to know how he thought about me, how he felt about me. I can't tell you the growth in confidence that came to going to a large public high school with everything I could have wanted at my fingertips. And what does it look like to love the Lord and love my neighbor, for that to come from a place of I get to, not I have to, if that makes sense. So I grew up through camps. I served as a camp huddle leader. I was at camp this summer. I've told people since 2001 FCA camp has been the best week of my life. You know, it's just so, so cool. Now, barring my marriage and our recent arrival of our child, I can no longer say the best week of my life, right? But that's the concept. That's the story. And those stories are repeated over and over again. I could tell you about athletes who have felt a darkness hanging over them for years, that because they had an encounter with the Lord at camp, it's now lifted. Dozens of stories, but none closer to my heart than, of course, my own.
Which I would hope your own testimony would be meaningful, of course, to you. So
you would hope, right?
For your region, do you have any exciting future plans that our listeners would be interested to know about?
Certainly. So my region includes Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. We are in a different place in each and every one of those states. So Colorado, where, of course, FCA was halfway founded in Colorado. We've got a rich history in Colorado. And the same is true for Arizona. Wyoming, we've had ministry presence there for a long time with great and faithful leadership. Utah, however, and New Mexico, we've had great teammates join us and continue to labor. So what's coming down the pipe for FCA in the Rockies? I would say greater maturity in Colorado and Arizona, where we're growing our number of camps. We're actually relaunching our camp strategy in Colorado, which I'm so excited about. But as far as New Mexico goes, we are brimming with opportunity. I would just say, shameless plug, we need staff. We need FCA staff in New Mexico. If you want to pray about something, pray for that. We need workers for the harvest in New Mexico. And we're believing God's going to do something great in the next year, two, or three. In Utah, we're already seeing that. We have huge opportunities to come alongside coaches and athletes where they are in their walk with Jesus. It's been really special to see. We had two Fields of Faith in Utah last month. So, and both of these were in places 3 years ago. No such thing existed. So it's an exciting time to be involved with our ministry. And I would say there's a ton of ground we've gained and plan to here in the next few years.
Going back a little earlier, I'm curious what you think about, are there particular challenges for athletes like across the country, lots of different people with a lot of different things that they love to do? And I imagine that maybe could speak to the inclinations of our hearts. Unique struggles for people that love sports. How does FCA meet that? And how can, you know, our listeners know more about that?
So I think the level of competitor determines a lot of the struggle. We're thinking along a spectrum from a leisure golfer, right? Someone who plays golf once a year, twice a year. They're a leisure athlete to a professional golfer. They are paid to play. And if they don't perform, they don't get paid. So there's a variety of struggles across that spectrum. I would actually say what we all have in common is this brokenness in our identity. That's not a sports thing. That's a human thing. We gravitate to broken cisterns, as the Lord calls them, to give us life. And they don't even hold water. Sport is good. It's a gift from God. Play is a gift from God. He's given us things for our enjoyment. But the moment that thing defines us, now we have a problem. And I would say the temptation towards being defined by that thing increases with your level of professionalism. So the higher your level of professionalism is, even like for us in our careers, the higher your level of professionalism, the greater the temptation would be to make that who you are. And we know, first and foremost, I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I know that I'm a child of God. That's the central most part. So how do athletes face that challenge uniquely? It's actually celebrated to make sports your God. That's, I think, what's different. The tide is actually favorable. That sense of idolatry of self and performance is rewarded in the sports culture. And that is what's so challenging, because we are rewarded for our performance. Mm-hmm. And you can very quickly slip into thinking, I have to perform well to be worth something. And in all reality, Jesus performed for us. And the work is finished. We trust in what he did, not in what we can do. So I would say that's a common challenge, but with a unique current in the sports world.
As a thespian at heart, it's the kind of the same thing in the theater. It's like performance is, you get rewarded if you do well. Oh, man.
king. Performance is king. And it's rewarded. It's repeated. It's celebrated. Of course, we lean into, oh, yeah, that's who I am. That's. And then, of course, there's the prestige that comes with being a college athlete or being a professional athlete. In reality, that lifestyle is grueling, very difficult to maintain long term. I have the highest respect for people whose profession is sport and love Jesus because they have to fight tooth and nail for margin in their life. Anyways, yeah, I could sing praises of folks who are walking that line really, really well.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Sarah Gackle, a regional vice president with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Go to fca.org. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Tony Collier on building deep community when you want to hide from your pain.
But when you have a friend in the room that says you're not alone and I've been through what you've been through, that's the meaningful connection that I think it just accelerates the healing. They understand the language. They understand what you've been through and how you've been through it. Sometimes they've been there before you. And even if they haven't, if you're going through it at the same time, they may have tips and tricks that you didn't even think about to heal the same thing that you're battling with.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.